Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer here. Talk UNLV hoops postseason with you. The season ended, of course, with a 69-66 loss to Northern Iowa and Oklahoma City last Thursday. Everybody's back here. Everybody's kind of recharged a little bit after the weekend. And Ray, let's just jump right into it. Let's give some grade out for this season. We go back to October. Not many people knew what to expect of this team. You had a lot of unknowns with the freshmen, with the transfers. You knew what you were getting out of Trayvon, but could he be a leader? A lot of unknown on this team. On an A through F scale, I know you've been at the lower end of that much of your life, but where would you grade this season for the Rebels?
I mean, I would say a solid B. As you said, when they entered the season, only five guys who played last year, who were eligible to play, who played last year, returned. And the way they started, Ryan, they won like their first nine games, you know, picked up the win against Louisville. They won at Arizona in overtime. And then all of a sudden some momentum grew. And as that happened, our expectations grew a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, maybe this team is a team that's going to contend in the league and a team that could go to the tournament and do some damage. And I think what we did is we forgot how young they were and how inexperienced they were and how they hadn't had time to gel together. All these moving parts, and then you factor that in with some of the injuries, you know, to Jasper and to Shaw, and I think for what they accomplished, getting to the tournament, making the finals of the league tournament, a solid B. Obviously, not an A because they lost their last two games to close out the year, but solid B. What about you? You've been there with them since day one.
I kind of agree with the solid B. Because, you know, I think the only thing that which maybe could have brought it up to a B-plus or, you know, dare I say an A-minus would be having beaten Northern Iowa, who, of course, it doesn't look so bad a couple days later when they go in and beat Kansas. So, I think a solid B is pretty good. Like you said, we knew what we were going to get out of Oscar Belfield when we went to watch him play. We knew what we were going to see from Darius Santee, but then they had guys like Bryce Masamba, who dropped all that weight in the off season. Transfers like Jasper and Standback, who didn't really know what we were going to see from. I think it was a good stepping stone into next season.
It was, and I think part of that is with like Jasper, it took him a while to get acclimated to the team and to playing again after sitting out the year when he transferred from Kentucky, and those first few games were like, wow, is this the Derek Jasper we expected? Then he came on and he started, he was awesome. I mean, he's a good passer. I mean, he's like a point guard playing forward. And he just had that ability to shoot, and he was just calm with the basketball, and he was a great addition. And if you look at everybody who's going to be back next year, it's virtually every major contributor plus Contrell Thomas, the Kansas transfer. So I definitely like what started this year. They planted a seed. They got used to each other. They probably won a little more than we expected them to. And now just build off of that, have a great off season, and keep moving on into the future.
Well, let's talk about the off season a little bit because we might as well just spin it forward because, like we said, the season comes to an end at 25-9 for the Rebels. 2010-2011, it looks like it's going to be mostly the same roster. Obviously, you lose a couple role guys in Darius Santee and Chop Jones. You're going to add, like you said, Quintrell Thomas, a 6'8" transfer from Kansas. Carlos Lopez, 6'11" forward out of Finley Prep, who got there by way of Puerto Rico. And he'll be eligible next year. But there's still that vacant scholarship. Everybody wants Corey Joseph. Everybody wants Dwayne Poley. Do the Rebels, I think we're kind of in agreement here. They don't need one of those guys.
Yeah. And we've said this all along. If you got another guard like Corey Joseph, where would you put him? Trevon's got to play. He's one of the best players in the league. Oscar is a very underrated point guard. He distributes the ball extremely well. He'll be a year older, a year wiser. Anthony Marshall, you're not going to keep that guy on the bench, especially with the way he played down the stretch. And I think your biggest weakness this year was, on the inside. Mm-hmm. There wasn't that much of an inside presence or an inside game. Granted, Bryce was much improved, showed flashes of great play, but he wasn't all too consistent. Matt Shaw is more of a, you know, pick and pop guy. He kill you from the inside and the outside. And I like the fact when you were talking about Lopez, 6'10", Thomas, 6'8". That helps alone. Just the fact that you're going to have bigger bodies occupying space in the lane is going to help tenfold. Now, do you need another guard? UNLV's real guard heavy. I don't think getting a Corey Joseph would be the end of the world. I mean, every scouting service has got the guy top 25 recruit. You need to start getting a kid or two like that to continue your progression. The only problem is where do you play him?
Yeah.
Are you going to keep
him? Whose minutes does he take?
Yeah. Are you going to, and he could be considered a one and done in college. And are you going to hold back Oscar for a year? Are you going to hold back Anthony for a year to put a guy like Corey out there when you definitely need some bulk? So when Corey Joseph commits to Texas to be with his boy Tristan Thomas and Avery Bradley, not the end of the world, folks. I think a bigger guy to take his place would be better.
Yeah, and you know, I think Poli's maybe more of the kind of guy who, if you got him, maybe that's a guy who redshirts next year. You know, Corey, I would think the only way he might be committing to UNLV is if he's comfortable with that playing 10 to 15, maybe 20 minutes a game, not having that lead role. And like you said, there's a chance. I mean, if he is a one and done, which I'm kind of not really convinced he is. If he is, though, you know, UNLV is probably not the fit for him.
Yeah, you don't want to break up your chemistry. I mean, you look, three your better players next year are Belfield, Willis, Marshall. You don't need another guard in there. Three guards is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then what's the starting lineup going to look like next year? I mean, you assume it's going to be Belfield and Willis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Belfield at the one, Willis at the two, stand back at the three?
At the four. And Jasper and Marshall kind of contending for that spot at the three.
And then
who knows? You know, Bryce will be competing for it. Shaw will be competing for it. Quintrell probably will be competing for it. Probably, you know, I would say either Bryce or Shaw early in the season.
And Lopez will probably be a backup at the post to start off until mm-hmm. he'll still be a freshman. And the thing with Carlos, folks, and I know you've probably seen him, is he's real lanky, and he's got to continue to add some weight. I know he had the illness as well where he dropped some pounds. So redshirt year was great for him. And even if you saw Carlos during warm-up sometime, well, you could tell the difference the redshirt year made from the beginning of the year when he was warming up toward the end of the year. And I think Coach Kruger made a great decision by having him travel on some of those trips so he could get acclimated to the
– He was at the tournament.
They think highly of him, and that's why they're taking such baby steps with him. They do develop post players well. See Joel Anthony, see Lewis Odmans, and I think they know what they're doing there.
And a guy who they think can fit that mold, the commit they got last week, Grandy Glaze, who's going to be playing his senior year next season at Notre Dame Prep in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. 6'6" power forward who you know, they really like a lot, a very active rebounder, you know, high flyer kind of kid, very wide-bodied built.
And from what you say, he probably has some of those intangibles that you need to complete a team-first guy.
Exactly, and you know, I know a lot of people are wanting to focus on the 2010 recruiting class, but 2011 is going to wind up being one of the more important recruiting classes this staff has at UNLV. You're going to have four or five spots to fill. They got off to a great start with Glaze, who was a top, you know, about a top 80 recruit, according to Rivals. So good start there.
And you have to also factor in the new basketball facility that's going to be built. Could be ready. That's definitely another carrot on the trail when you're out there recruiting, saying, hey, listen, we're in the tournament three of the last 4 years. We rarely lose at home, and we've got this great new facility, the tradition of UNLV, where, you know, coaches put a few guys into the league. This is a great place for you. I would think if you're trying to get a big man to come here, I think Coach Kruger would have an easy time selling a big just for the work he's done.
And they'll probably be looking at least one more in that class. Now, of course, we're going to be covering the recruitment of that 2011 class all offseason on LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. Before we get out of here, Ray, let's look back on some of the highs and lows from the 2009-2010 season. Let's start with the best game that you thought UNLV played this year, and I think we'll probably be synonymous on this.
Yeah, especially in the first half, that home Saturday game against BYU, a sold-out crowd. It even rained pretty hard that day, and folks still made their way to the Thomas and Mack, and UNLV couldn't miss. It was one shot after another shot. It was everybody. Next thing you know, double-digit lead. Never took the foot off the gas pedal. Great win over their biggest rival, key Mountain West game. I'd be crazy to think that you would say any other game than the BYU game.
Yeah, I'm going to agree there. Now let's flip the script. The worst showing that this team had.
Well, there was a few that obviously stand out. At Utah, after Shaw rolled his ankle, against San Diego State. But for me, Ryan, it had to be the USC game during the holidays. Two reasons. One, UNLV was on a roll there. They were in the top 25. And two, it was on national television, and they just totally came out. They weren't motivated at all. It looked like they had their bags packed and they were ready to come back home. And just the fact that it was on national TV and they looked so bad, for me, was the low game. What do you say?
I go with kind of the combination of Utah and San Diego State back-to-back, probably San Diego State being the worst in my eyes. But, you know, as far as most perplexing, I'll go with that USC game for all the reasons you just mentioned, plus the fact, you know, that you look at those two games before that, I think they won them by an average margin of about 20 against SMU and Hawaii. They were rolling.
It looked great against SMU.
Yeah, and there was,
Jasper, you had to wonder why. Yeah, and next thing you know, it just slipped and slipped. And you're right, though, San Diego State, Utah, part of that three-game losing streak where some people, you know, were anti-UNLV. They were, you know, the train is coming off the tracks. The season's over. Find your bomb shelters. And nonetheless, UNLV rallied it. Would they win six games before losing their last two? And They pieced it together nicely.
Now, we obviously would be in agreement that the most valuable player on this team was Trevon Willis. He was voted as such by his teammates. Let's leave on this. Looking into next year of the returning guys, who do you expect to make the biggest emergence? He you know, already was pretty established, but his numbers went up across the board. Who are you looking at for next season to emerge maybe bigger than anyone else?
Well, I think Anthony Marshall's got the total package. He is so athletic that he's a great defender. He's fearless. He'll go to the hole against anybody. The thing is he really struggled with his shots, only made one three-pointer this year. And even when he was shooting foul shots, he was a little hesitant. Now, if you've been to a practice, as you have, he's money in practice.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be a matter of his big thing is, okay, continue to improve with your speed and your strength and your, you know, guarding ability and driving to the hole ability, but get that shot under control, because if he adds that arsenal, I think that he could become a premier player in the Mountain West Conference. I'm really high on the kid, and I really am interested to see how Jasper rehabs the knee and gets back into full strength. And, you know, obviously, stand back every now and then, he would have a down game. And if he's money, if Quintrell Thomas is as good as advertised, and you've seen him play before, then I think UNLV is going to have a good chance to return to the tournament. You got to remember the league is going to be super tough next year. A lot of teams are scheduled to return a lot of good players.
Yeah, and you know, I do like the call with Marshall. If he can work that shot into the games consistently. You know, Jasper, obviously, just as soon as he was starting to hit his stride, gets hurt. The one guy I'm really looking forward to maybe make the biggest jump, and I know the coaching staff really is going to be expecting a jump from this guy next year, is Bryce Masamba, who late in the season emerged, you know, lost all that weight last year. Good moves. You know, the hands are still kind of coming. You know, good hands usually are more natural than taught, but, you know, you can do some things to make it work. I think they are really expecting a jump from him in terms of productivity. This year averaged, you know, I mean, nothing impressive, but, you know, I think they think this could be a regular, you know, maybe, you know, 8-8 guy. And with that physical presence that he has inside, it certainly wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, and the thing I like about Bryce is anytime you see the guy, whether it's in person or a picture or on one of Killer's videos, smile from one side of his cheek to the other. Guy genuinely likes being there, and that's half the battle, I think. He wants to get better. He's willing to put in the work, and we've seen that where he went from one weight to another weight from freshman to sophomore. Now, you know, he doesn't have to work on his body as much. He can start working on some of the basketball moves, and I think, you know, sky is the limit. It's all up to Bryce, and it's going to be interesting to see how he progresses in the offseason.
Well, Ray, any final comments before we end this one?
Ryan, it's just been a fun year, man. I really had a ball talking UNLV basketball with you and going to all the games and documenting the team. And it's the Rebels gave us a lot of fun things to write about, injury, conflict, and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, and it'll be even better next year, probably more interesting next year. So For Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. This is the Rebel Room signing off. We will talk to you again soon. Until then, take care.